Lord, thank you that you redeemed us. You set us free. You welcomed us home with open arms. And you declared that we are your children. Lord, we take that on, and we want to put our identity as your children. God, we love you. Thank you. Amen. You can take your seats. Good morning and welcome to Church in Toronto. My name is Nathan and I'm your host this morning. If you're new here today, we want you to feel at home. God loves you and we're so glad to have you here. For those who aren't new, welcome home. As most of you have probably noticed, our cafe is undergoing a significant remodel it's pretty great, right? Yeah. And that's for the purpose of becoming more welcoming and being able to better serve our community. So I'm very excited to announce that it's nearly done. Next week, we'll have a grand opening. A couple weeks ago, we launched mycit.info. So that's a URL. You can put it into your browser and on your computer or in your phone. And this is our online hub for all church information. So you can find sermon notes, small group material, information on community groups, giving, and volunteering. This is a great resource for us. So put it in your phone, bookmark it. It's good to have. One thing we really value here is community. And one of the biggest ways that we put that into practice here at CIT is community groups. So we have 16 groups running all different days of the week in different locations, and this is a great opportunity. In my personal group, it's a safe space where we can talk about our life that week, our family life, our work life, and we can also go deep into heavy discussions on theology that we can't quite grasp. It's a perfect place for that kind of work. I really hope that each of you I really hope and pray that each of you can experience the blessing that I've experienced through community groups. If you'd like to know more about community groups, please come and talk to me or anyone with one of these Connect Team lanyards after the service, and we'll introduce you to some group leaders, and we'll make sure that you find your place. With all that being said, I'd like to welcome our teaching pastor Ian up. We're continuing our series, Navigating Change in Acts.
Thanks, Nathan. Well, are you navigating change well? Oh, so remember Friday afternoon or some kind of a storm came through? Summer left us. I don't know if you noticed, right after that, right? It was like the weather really changed. Anyway, we're talking about navigating change this morning. Our main topic this morning is receiving help. When we go through change, we just need help a lot of times. So before I launch into that, I'm going to ask John to come up and do some of the reading for this morning.
Hello, everyone. So this is the second time I've done it today. It's also the second time I've done it this year. So you see, I'm John. I'm originally from the UK, and this is why my wife Ming originally from China. This is us over in Prague when we went over to Europe to visit my family in the UK, and we also had a side trip to Prague. So that's us there just a couple of weeks back. Okay, so when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native languages? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked each one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions."
Right. Thank you, John. I said in the first service, I just need John to come over and read the Bible for me every day. Just such a commanding voice. So here we are. We're navigating change. We're 3 weeks into this series. And like I said, a lot of times when we are navigating change, we have to admit we need help. And that help, of course, you know, the kinds of things that we go through big changes, small changes, but it's good to admit we need help. And I wonder here this morning, are you in the camp of, I'm willing to admit that I need help? Not many hands. That's interesting. Or are you like me, and my hand is way high up, I'm determined that I can do this by myself? Wow. And I think, you know, we get in one of those kind of camps. And so, if you can consider this morning, as you're navigating change, and change may be coming to you in different ways these days, are you willing to receive other people's help? Now, you know, there's different kinds of change that we go through. And I was thinking about one change that I had to go through fairly recently. You know, is when my mother was dying. And you know, that's a really tough change to go through. She was living with us at that time. And maybe some of you are going through that same kind of issue right now or situation in life. And you realize that your parent is aging and it's not easy to watch them declining. And you realize where this is going to end. And it's a very, very difficult change to navigate through. When my mom was living with us for a year as she was doing her cancer treatment here in Toronto, I was so thankful that as I was going through it, my wife was with me to help me. Because I don't believe I could have done it by myself. Now, you know, sometimes you think, oh, Ian, you're British. You can just stiff up a lip and you can get through. But the reality is, it's good to admit I need help. And it's good for us, all of us, to admit that we need help. Now, not all change that we're navigating is as heavy as that, but sometimes, like when we're starting off at university, and I'm sure by now, those of you who are going to university, you know university is not the same as high school. I'm sure the bell rang, right? And all of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, I'm not in high school anymore. I am in this thing called university, and it's way harder than I ever imagined. And you know, there are some people, when they're in high school, they write papers and everything else, and they hand them in, and they get, you know, a certain grade, and usually it's a higher grade, and then they get to university, they hand in a paper, and they realize, how come I see the letter C on my paper when I've only seen A's on my paper? And your professor is literally telling you, you really don't know how to write. So you can just sit there and say, no, I'm just determined. Or you can say, I'm going to go get help. And the great thing is the universities have these things called writing centers, and you can actually go and learn just some little things that you need to learn. Now, maybe university's not for you, but maybe moving. Moving is a big thing. Like when you're actually moving houses from one to another, that is tough. Like your whole world is getting, you know, torn apart and you got to reassemble it. Are you the kind of person who asks for help? Or are you like, no, I can do this. And if you're like me, as you're getting a little bit older, you might be determined to do that. And then for the next week, you're like, I should have asked for help. Because you feel it. And it's a gentle reminder to us. Our body's even telling us, just receive the help that is available. So just asking help from friends is always good. And then I think about, I know we have in our church right now, we have a couple of ladies who are pregnant and they're going to have a baby probably within the next 6 months or so. And that's a big change to navigate. And sometimes you kind of feel like you're going through it alone because, you know, you just, you know, your body's growing and changing and all these kinds of things. I'm not speaking from experience. I've seen it. But it's so good to be able to just hear from someone who's trodden that path before. Just someone who's gone down that road before and knows, yeah, it's okay. Everything is going to work out just fine. So as we navigate through change, no matter what kind it is, would we be willing to say, I need help? So I want to hit on three areas that I feel we need help this morning. So here they are. Are we willing to receive help to do things, to carry out things, just get help from people? Are we also willing to receive help to see things clearly? Because sometimes I just don't see what I should be seeing, and I need help. And the third one is, am I willing to receive help to respond the way I should respond? So we're gonna be in, and John has already read those verses for us this morning. We're going to be in those verses, and we're going to go a little further than that. We're actually going to be in the whole chapter of Acts chapter 2. But let me just set this up just prior to this event called Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit is poured out. Jesus had told his disciples, I'm leaving, and I'm giving this commission to you. But before you start the commission, before you start to go and do what I've asked you to do, you need to wait. So on the one hand, he's saying, go. And the other hand, he's saying, wait. And what are they waiting for? So I want to draw your attention to chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. There it says, wait for the promise of the Father. Or in this version, the gift my Father promised, which you heard from me. And he's specifically speaking about the Holy Spirit. And look what he says in verse 8. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. And that, what was that power for? To be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, I want to show you a quick video of what that really looks like. So here you go. So you can see there's Jerusalem. That fire, or that Holy Spirit fire, started there and moved out into the province of Samaria and Judea, and then to the ends of the earth, at least as far as they knew it at that point in time. But that commission that God gave to his disciples, it was not just to them. That was to us too. If you're here and you're a Christian, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And just as much as that commission was given to them, it is also given to you and me. That is not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion, oh, if you feel like doing this. No, God says, here is my commission to you, my followers. Here's what you need to do. You need to tell the good news, witness in Jerusalem, witness in Judea, the province, witness in the next province, Samaria, and just keep going. And you may feel like, wow, that is a pretty big ask. I'm not sure that I have the ability to do that. And that's why Jesus said, wait. Because you're right. You don't have the ability. Yes, you have your talents. Yes, you've got your abilities. You've got all the strengths that I've given you. But you are lacking one thing. You need the Holy Spirit. And so notice what it looks like. If we can go to verses 1 through 4. Look what it looks like in the beginning of the book, in the beginning of chapter 2. So we're talking about this thing called Pentecost. And I'm just going to set that up. That just means, so Penta, we know, is 5, but this is actually means 50. This is 50 days after Passover. That's going to be important for a little bit later on. They were all together. So there's like 120 followers of Jesus that were all together. And it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. So first of all, we've got wind. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. I was just with the youth last night out in the Bowmanville area, and we had a campfire there. So I'm well aware of what tongues of fire look like as they were roasting their marshmallows. Actually, I should say burning their marshmallows. I try to tell them, like, don't put the marshmallow where the flame is. Put it where the embers are. That's where you're going to get a good roast. Anyway, whatever. You know, young people are just young. Are you listening to me? They're not listening anymore. They just have fun. They just had fun. This is great. So think about the very tips of the fire, that tongue kind of thing. This image is quite interesting because you've got wind and fire. And for those of us who know our Bible a little bit more, and if you don't worry, it's not a problem. Just let me explain. That's really significant. Because the wind and the fire, that kind of combination, is exactly what we see at Mount Sinai when God gave them the Ten Commandments. And what it's pointing to is this is God's presence in that place. We see exactly the same thing when the children of Israel, or the Jews, they were wandering through the desert for those 40 years, and they had this portable tent that they all used to camp around, and God's presence was there. And how did it show up? A column of fire. God's presence was there with them. So what's really interesting here is now God's presence is not just located centrally in one place. Now it is dwelling in all of his people. God's presence is with us. That's why we call this the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there. And then look what it says. So they have these tongues of fire, kind of over their heads. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak other tongues. And by that, they mean languages. They're speaking languages they don't know. I only know English. If I'm here this morning speaking to you in Swahili, it's not normal. Something's gone wrong. Or any other kind of language. You might think, oh, that's weird. Why is Ian speaking in that foreign language? Something is going on. Something is going on. Anyway, so there's a reason. There's a reason why God gave them this ability. It's not just for some, and you know, unfortunately, the way things kind of developed over years and years in the Christian circles, people kind of took this and just kind of used it for some personal, ecstatic experience, spiritual experience. That's not what this is for. This has a context. God baptized them in the Holy Spirit for one reason: his mission. Those two things, you cannot separate those two things. The giving of the Holy Spirit was specifically for his mission. Because look what happens. So they're able to speak in different tongues. You might ask, why would God do that? If you can go to the next verses. It says because there were Jews in that place. No, could you go to verse 5? Yeah. There were Jews who had come together for Pentecost. Like I mentioned, Passover was 50 days before, and Jewish people would come together in Jerusalem and they would celebrate the festival there. 50 days later, they would come back and they would celebrate this thing called Pentecost. So they're all there. So if you think about that map that I just showed you and all the expanding rings that were going out, it wasn't, God is saying, I want you to go that way. And on this particular day, on Pentecost, he brought people in to hear something. And look at all the different people that were there. They were from all over, from the west, from the south, from the north, from the east. They were from all over. They had come to Jerusalem. And look what it says in verse 11, right at the end. This is their declaration. We hear them. That's these Galilean men who were from North Israel, who don't know how to speak all of these languages. We hear them declaring the wonders of God, right, in our own tongues. Now that would freak you out. That would really surprise me if I saw something along those lines. So think about what's going on here. God is enabling them to speak the mighty things of God to all the people who were there. The tongues were for the mission. The tongues were for the mission. And of course, that same Holy Spirit was the power that enabled them to do this. They could not possibly have done this on their own. If you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, you need help in following him. And that's what the Holy Spirit has been given to you for. He can guide you. He can help you. He can do so many things. Don't try to live the Christian life all on your own, all on your own power. That's not what God designed. He designed for you to be filled with him, his personal presence, and to go and to be his witness to the people that are in your life. So, we know that there was a reaction to this. And so I want to hit two questions for you as we kind of progress here. The first one is this. What is going on? Because that's what I would be asking. What's going on? The second question we'll get to a little bit later is, what shall we do, or what should we do? So if you think about what's going on here, these men are hearing the things of God in their own language. They're trying to figure out what is going on. Can you go forward to 12 and 13, Regina? They are amazed and perplexed, and they asked one another, what does this mean? What's going on? This is a head scratcher. I don't get it. They're Galilean. They're speaking in my tongue. They're speaking in my language. And then we see, so it's not just amazed and perplexed. Some, however, made fun of them and said, they're drunk. Or in this translation, they have had too much wine. And I think it's, you know, interesting. Sometimes when we see something and we don't understand it, the easiest thing to do is go to our default and just dismiss it. We just say, I don't understand it, it doesn't make sense, and we just totally dismiss it. And I would kind of say that's taking the easy way. And the unfortunate thing is this. When we dismiss something like that, we walk away unaffected. We're not affected at all. And so we literally miss something. You know, I think about when, so for those of you who don't know me, I grew up in a non-Christian home. Mom and dad, hardworking couple, did the very, very best for us, but religion, God, it was just not a part of our story. They sent us to church just so they could sleep a little longer and things like that on Sunday mornings, but it wasn't for any real purpose. When I was 18 years old, I had a definite experience of Jesus. I had heard about him often. I accepted what he had done in his dying for my sins and resurrecting from the grave, and he became my savior. And I'm not going to lie to you, my life changed dramatically. I was a typical teenager, partier. I don't want to say party animal, because that's not fair. But I did typical things that teenage boys do, smoke drugs and drank lots of beer, and yeah, just that kind of stuff going on. That was where I was at that particular point in time. And then I met Jesus and my life changed. But what was interesting is to hear how people dismissed what had happened to me. So it kind of goes like this. These are actually real things that people said. The first thing they would say is, He's just trying to impress Debbie. For those of you who don't know, Debbie is sitting right here. She's my wife. She was my girlfriend at that particular time. And her family was a Christian family. And for sure, they helped me a lot to know more about Jesus. So that was the one thing that came out of their mouths was, oh, see, you see how the dismissing is going? He's just trying to impress a girl. You think I was trying to impress a girl? Hey, look. Full disclosure. In the years prior to that, 100%. I mean, she was beautiful, right? All that kind of stuff. I'm going to make her cry again. Sorry. So for sure, you know, there was that. That was the way I kind of entered this whole thing, but that was not the way it ended. Jesus met me and something happened. And so people dismissed it and they said, oh, he's just trying to impress Debbie. My parents said, he's maturing. That can't be because I'm still not maturing. So I don't think it's working. But you can see, right? It's like, I need something to explain what's going on here. And so the easiest thing, the safest thing for me, the default mode is, okay, I'm just going to say he's maturing. Well, that's no different than the men who said, these men are drunk. They're dismissing it and they're trying to walk away unaffected. And some of my friends who knew me so well, they said, it won't last. It's just a phase, and we know Ian. But it did last. Why? Because it was I entered into a real relationship with Jesus. The truth is, I really met Jesus, and he changed my heart, and then my life began to change. I didn't have to change to get into a relationship with him. I got into a relationship with him and slowly change started to come. And I wonder for you as you're sitting here this morning, has someone that you know had a similar encounter with Jesus and you're trying to figure out, how do I explain this? You know, it was very, very interesting for my mom and dad. Because they, of course, they had all their friend group, and when people would ask, so what's Ian doing now? Oh, it was kind of hard for them to explain because, you know, shortly after I got saved, I went into a Bible training and all those kinds of things, and it was hard for them to explain because it just didn't match up with who they were and how they had raised me, and so it was tough for them to explain to their friends. And so anyway, they eventually figured it out, what was going on. They weren't dismissing it anymore. They knew something specific had happened to me, but maybe for you, you know somebody who has definitely changed because their life has collided with Jesus. I would encourage you, don't dismiss what you're seeing and what you're hearing. Don't say something like this. Or maybe you have said something like this and maybe it reminds you this morning. That's good for them, but it's not good for me. Or they need that in their life. I don't need that. Don't dismiss what God is doing. Don't miss it, because God is really, really doing something in the person that you know. And if you know them well, you know they're different from when they were before. You may say things like this or realize this. They have a peace inside of them that I can't explain. They're a lot more peaceful than they used to be, or just in the manner in which they carry themselves, they're just at rest in what they do. And yeah, things happen in their life, but there's a peace that you can't explain. And so I would say, instead of just having those defaults, glasses and dismissing things. You and I need help to see what God is doing. We don't just need help carrying something out. We need help to see what God is doing. We need to see clearly. We need help to see that. So it might be your friend who has changed because of Jesus. It could be somebody in your family, your extended family, or it could be a child who has changed because of Jesus. And I would encourage you, don't miss what God is doing right in front of you. Don't dismiss it. Ask God, what is going on? I want to see what's really going on in that person. And listen, look at those Jewish men who were there that day. They were having a tough time. They were having a really, really tough time, you know, kind of putting this whole thing together. But I love the fact that Peter, and of course we didn't go through those verses, you can read it for yourself if you like. Peter then takes these men by the hand and he says to them, brothers, fellow Jews, this is not that they're drunk. This is something that has been told by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, young, old, males, females, slaves, free. It does not matter. God said, I'm pouring out my spirit in these last days. And Peter is trying to help them to see God's up to something here. And what's very, very interesting, I'd mentioned to you that Pentecost is 50 days after Passover, because Passover is when Jesus was crucified. And some of these same people who were in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost, and they were seeing what God was doing on that day, they were the same men who were saying, crucify him. And they totally missed it. They missed what God was doing at that time. And Peter is saying, you missed it then? Don't miss this now. I'm afraid you're going to miss what God is doing in your midst. And so that's what Peter is, you know, helping them to see. He is telling them, this Jesus is your Savior. This Jesus is the one who was crucified. This Jesus is the one who resurrected from the grave. Let me show you some of the verses in chapter 2, verse 22-23. My fellow Jews, Jesus was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. And this is the important part. This man you put to death. Now think about somebody pointing a finger right at your chest when they say that. That's the way they would feel, and we'll see that in a little bit. Peter is trying to help them through the word of God to see you did something. He's not trying to make them feel bad or anything. He's just saying, look, you missed it the first time. Don't miss what God is doing on this day of Pentecost. So you put him to death by nailing him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead. So even though you missed it, God was the one who was raising him from the dead and saying, no, you blew it, but he is the one that he said he is. He is the Messiah. He's the one who came to take care of your sin. He died and he rose. I don't know about you, but I needed help to see that as a young teenager. I needed help to be able to see what God had done for me. And not only that, but it also says in verse 33 that God exalted Jesus to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you see and hear. So think about what's going on here. These men have missed. They missed the crucifixion. They knew the crucifixion happened. But they missed the point of what God was doing at the crucifixion. They totally missed it. They blew it. They had those default glasses on, dismissed it, and walked away unaffected. So they missed that. They missed the resurrection. But God said, I'm going to exalt him to the heavens. And not only am I going to do that, I'm going to give him this Holy Spirit, and he's going to pour that Holy Spirit out on you. And that is exactly what they were experiencing and witnessing on that day. So then we come to our last question. So we've seen that God enables us through his Holy Spirit to carry out things. That's important. We also recognize that God helps us to see what we need to see. But now we have to ask, what about our response? We sometimes need help to know how to respond. These men who heard this had a response, and I want you to see these verses. Verse 37, 38. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and I want you to feel that now, because that is exactly the you that we talked about earlier. You put him to death. You crucified him. And now they feel it. They feel the weight of what it was that they did. They rejected Jesus. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" We need help. We need help to know how to respond. It doesn't come naturally. And I think, you know, for a number of us in this room, maybe we're not yet following Jesus. We might be interested. We may have heard a little bit about him. What is the first thing that Peter tells them? He says that they should repent. And I know repent is one of those heavy religious kind of words that we kind of think we have. I just want to make it really, really simple for you this morning. Repent. How many of you are familiar with a U-turn? Y'all know what a U-turn is? Okay, that's what repentance is. Repentance means I am walking in a certain direction and I'm going in a certain direction and I realize that I'm going in the wrong direction. And repent means this. When I realize my error, I turn around and I start to walk in the right direction. And that is what God is saying. That's what Peter is saying to these people as they're hearing it. They're saying, what should we do? And the first thing he says is recognize you're going in the wrong direction. It's not a bad thing to realize we're going in the wrong direction. We need help to recognize those kinds of things. So if you're here this morning and you're thinking, yeah, I'm really heading in the wrong direction, God is here, and God's grace and his love are here. It's not over. There's still time. You can respond. And the way to do that is to make that U-turn. And the way to do that is just simply to say, Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner and I need you. I need you to forgive me. And the second thing that he mentions is be baptized. And our understanding of baptism is that it has a lot to do with water and being immersed in water. And what does that do? That actually gives us a brand new start with God. And then Peter says, and here's the promise. If you repent, you're baptized, you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will have the personal presence of God with you, enabling you to do what he has for you to do. So I think, you know, there may be some here this morning who you just feel like, I would like to make that decision, and I want to make sure that I do it today. I don't want to leave this room because I know if I leave this room, the busyness of the day is going to get to me. So I want to give you this opportunity. I'm going to ask everybody if you would just please bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to pray. And if you want to pray along with me, please do so. If you feel like this is your moment to come into relationship with God and to receive his salvation, just pray in this way. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming to this earth and living a perfect life. Thank you for going to a cross and dying on that cross for my sins. I receive you. I receive your salvation. I receive the help that you're extending to me this morning. God, thank you for loving me. You want to make me a child of God. I receive it right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. For those of us who are following Jesus, don't let the word repent fall away from you. Because there are many times we're trying by our own efforts and our own strengths to do what God is asking us to do. And we too may need to repent and make a U-turn, come back to him, receive the Holy Spirit's filling and able to be to do what you need to do for him. Let me pray for us, and then we'll sing one last song. Father, thank you so much for your word to us this morning. It's not easy to admit that we need help. But God, when we hear what we heard this morning, we're so thankful that your help doesn't come with any condemnation. It just comes freely. And you want to bring us into freedom. God, we're just here trying to respond to you. God, we love you. We just pray for our lives that they would be witnesses to Jesus Christ.